I extend warm greetings to you all who listen to this message. Three people were visiting and viewing the Grand Canyon in Arizona. An artist from Europe, a Methodist pastor from California, and a Texan cowboy. On the edge of the massive abyss, they saw awesome scenery of a natural formation with layered bands of red rock. Right before their eyes, a mile-deep canyon is stretched out a couple of hundred miles. Each one responded with a cry of exclamation. The artist said, "Ah, what a striking and awe-inspiring scenery it is. I wonder if I could ever put this vast beauty into a small painting." The minister cried, "What a wonderful example of the handiwork of God. Indeed, it was good to God's eyes after he created the world so magnificently." The cowboy blurted out, "What a terrible place to lose a cow." They were looking at the same stunning scenery from the same vantage point, but saw it differently. It is because their perspective was distinctive. People would see something so awesome, but not all of them would appreciate the same way. Many would focus on an appearance, while some others look at a hidden meaning of the appearance. A similar thing happened when Jesus rode a donkey to Jerusalem. It was Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem. Jesus expected so many sorrowful events lay ahead. Agony, betrayal by one of his followers, the capture, the disciples scattering away, the torture, and the crucifixion. However, the crowd did not have any idea of what Jesus would suffer in a little while, and welcome Jesus waving palm branches, shouting Hosanna. They saw nothing else but a glorious entry of a Savior and a Liberator. There was a significant difference between fiesta the crowd was enjoying and how Jesus felt. The crowd was rather simple-minded. They acknowledged Jesus as Son of David, a potential candidate for a new king of Israel. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was like a victorious march of their political savior, who could liberate them from Roman aggression. The crowd had a very narrow vision and perspective, which contributed to the change of their attitude and mind. Within a few days, the welcoming crowd did not waste any time to turn themselves into a totally different group of people. They now supported high priest Plot, affirmed the twisted verdict of Pilate, and shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" On the other hand, Jesus had a broader and deeper range of perspective. He knew that his entry meant that the time came for him to offer himself as a Passover lamb during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus sensed that the very last part of his earthly life was about to begin. He would soon suffer the most excruciating pain and die. What made Jesus' perspective more profound was that his outlook did not stop at his death. He had a full anticipation that death was not the end. The resurrection was to follow. The kind of perspectives that the disciples had was comparable with the crowd. The disciples rather had a a shallow and wrong perspective. Mark 10 describes about the request that John and James made. They ask Jesus, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Were John and James willing to be crucified with Jesus, even though they said that they could drink the cup that Jesus would drink? I do not think so. Their heart were unto something else. Mark 14 talk about Peter. During the Passover meal, Jesus said that Peter would disown Jesus 3 times. Peter's response to Jesus was, even if he would die with Jesus, he would never disown him. And all the disciples said the same as Peter said. But Peter did not know what was ahead and demonstrated that he was nothing but a coward. Both the disciples and the crowd had a limited perspective that focuses more on present circumstance. When the current circumstance appeared to be good, they behaved nicely. But when they faced challenges, they quickly changed their mind. What if the crowd had the same vision as Jesus had? Would they have changed their shout of welcoming into judgment? Probably not. If Judas Iscariot had the same perspective that Jesus had and knew that even if Jesus would be sentenced to death, he would rise again, would he still sell Jesus? Maybe he would have had a second thought before he betrayed Jesus. If Peter had believed in Jesus' word that he would rise again in 3 days, would he have still disowned him? Maybe not so easily. What was the consequence of their narrow visions? None of them saw life after death, and they all made a wrong judgment and chose a wrong path. They did not see hope beyond the life-threatening situation, and all of them lost grip of their life. And we surely do not want to repeat their mistake. Having a right perspective on the present situation plays a very important role of how we live. But more importantly, we need to have a broader perspective that Jesus had. What was the kind of perspective that Jesus had? Hebrews 12:2 shed light on it. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Yes, the cross was so painful that even Jesus pleaded with God if he could avoid drinking the cup. Probably more painful thing was loneliness. Jesus alone was tortured. He alone walked on the painful Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. On the cross, Jesus felt an absolute loneliness away from God. How could he endure such a pain? Where did the strength and courage come from? Hebrews said, it was the joy of resurrection which helped Jesus endure the crucifixion. Jesus' perspective helps us face the trouble today and also look beyond it. Yes, we should see the present situation from a right angle. But we should not stop there. We should see far beyond the today's trouble. We may be crucified today, but resurrection awaits us. Hebrews 12:3 says, "Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us not become cowards like the crowd and the disciples with a limited vision. Let us not grow weary and be discouraged because of our restricted perspective, but endure the trouble today with hope of God's intervention." Let me share with you a birthday card that Esther wrote on my birthday. "Happy birthday, Dad. You are turning 60 years old, the age everyone considers to be grandpa age. Although you are currently not a grandpa yet, never fear. I am sure Johnny or Eddie will cook up some grandchildren for you, despite the fact that neither even have girlfriends. As for me, I'm going solo. That's right, my plan is to stay single forever. So, don't expect me to have children, wink, wink. But then again, I'm only 16, so who knows? Again, happy birthday. Know you are loved and appreciated. Esther. P.S. Don't plan on dying anytime soon. You still have to pay for my tuition. LOL. I have kind of settled with my nickname Grandpa and admit that my youthful days are gone away. To this Grandpa, something good happened this past week. I was able to buy toilet papers, paper towels, potatoes, and eggs at Costco during shopping hours for people over 60 years of age. My family is now proud of having a Grandpa at home. Did I see this kind of good thing would happen at 60 years of age? No, but I do now. Let us consider Jesus and follow his footstep. Jesus endured the cross because he saw the joy of resurrection before him. Where we are today may be very painful and even may seem hopeless. Today's pain may be unavoidable, but we should not let today's trouble cause us to lose heart. There is hope beyond this crisis. There shall be a cure available to destroy this terrible virus. We will endure and wait for the day of victory from this battle, which our crucified but also risen Christ shall soon offer to us. Amen.